Next on BYUSN, the final non-college football weekend of the year is upon us, and BYU hasn't named a starting quarterback yet. Will Bear Bachmeyer be the guy? And will we know by Monday he ran with the first team again yesterday?
Hey-o! Is the Big 12 BYU honeymoon over? Some interesting post-AP poll notes that have us going, what? And women's soccer pulls off a wild regular season win at Minnesota, led by the freshman.
Who needs 11 on the field? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, August 15th. This is how we do it. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who loves himself some basketball. He is Jerem Jordan.
Gimme the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it. Yeah, that's one of the best SNL skits ever. So good. John Tesh, who wrote that song, is releasing a sports album with multiple versions of Roundball Rock. I think it's perfect. I don't know that we need any more, but I am intrigued by what we could be getting here with one of the, if not the greatest sports anthem of all time.
Yes, I can't wait for the Sean Kemp remix version. All these 90s stars as the remixes. Brown remix.
Nice. I'm quelling the idea of sharing a story from Ben Bagley related to Sean Kemp in a game that I don't think we should share on the air. So if you see me in person, I will tell you.
But. Ask Jeremy about the Rain Man, Sean Kemp.
That was one of his nicknames.
Yeah. The other obscure NBA stars in the early 90s. Oh, the Dan Marley remix.
Okay, truth be told, when I was not as engaged as I should have been in certain church meetings as a BYU student, a friend of mine by the name of Manti Sua, we would just play a game where we would write the name of a 90s NBA player and then pass to each other, and then you'd just keep going until we couldn't think of anything.
Yes.
That took us the distance, because that's a fun game.
I'd probably get to Ala Abdel Nabi and then be out.
Nice. Buck Williams, what's up? Rest in peace.
Oh, good stuff. Throwback basketball.
Fat Lever.
Shout out to John Tesh.
Harvey Grant.
You know, we'll call a timeout on the basketball fun for now.
We're not playing? Okay. I thought we were going the whole hour
with this. Timeout on the basketball for a moment.
We'll talk to BYU, I guess.
Yeah. Time to rise and shout. Let's get to a Friday edition.
George Mirachon. Bear Bachmeyer is one of the highest-rated recruits BYU's ever had, man. Bear versus McKay right now.
I didn't hear a red flag.
There was no
Aaron Roderick on McKay Hillstead.
Bear Bachmeyer has a great chance to be the first true freshman starter in Game 1 of BYU history.
Is BYU football on the precipice of making history indeed?
And Derek Harper,
a true freshman, a starting quarterback for Game 1 for the first time ever.
Yes.
BYU football close to wrapping up training camp. Bear Bachmeyer, by the way, continues to get the majority reps with the first team in practice. That was the case last night at the scrimmage at LaVelle Edwards Stadium. So with that being said,
scrimmage. It was a practice, apparently.
Practice at LaVelle Edwards Stadium.
11-on-11 at the end, which is normal.
Okay. Yep. What do we make of that information? Maybe more importantly, do you think we'll know who the starting quarterback is by Monday?
I feel like I was early on this. Bear could win the job. He's got a chance to win the job early in camp, and here we are. I'll be surprised if he's not the guy.
I thought we'd know by today.
And I'll be surprised if by the end of the day Monday, there is media availability today and Monday, if Aaron Roderick does not, or Clint Stockett, does not say, we have named the starter and it is Bear. I would be surprised if we get to Tuesday and we don't know that information.
Maybe it was selfish of me to hope for it happening by the end of this week, just so that we could have the weekend to ponder on it, speculate.
I think it's all kind of settling in now. I don't know that there's the formality for me won't change much. I'm expecting Bear to win this job.
It feels like this is well in motion.
Yeah.
Like the ink hasn't quite dried yet, but it's close.
Good call. Yeah. There's no candle dipped in wax on the seal of the envelope, to use old references. Yeah, and McKay is clearly the number two at this moment. Will they finalize that? Will they formalize that? Your conversation with Aaron Roderick from Saturday that aired Monday on the show was poignant in that he's saying, well, maybe we're not going to withhold who the starter is until game day.
Doesn't create an advantage that he doesn't believe this year.
I don't think he did either last year against Southern Illinois, frankly. But it's all good. They can proceed how they want to proceed. And I do expect by the end of the day Monday for them to announce publicly to the world, to Cougar Nation, hey, Bear's the guy, and then he has some time to get all the reps with the ones.
10 practices.
Yeah.
As the designated number one.
You'd love it to be more, but it is what it is. You have a QB battle. It went to 3, got whittled down to 2 for what we think will be this week, and then you go from there.
I hope that they can just make it official so that it's not a distraction anymore. Like, now it's just done, and it's like, hey, let's get ready for Portland State.
Why wouldn't they, I guess, know? Or they just want to finish this week, perhaps, and then...
Yes, and that's what...
Monday, okay, over the weekend, we've looked at everything.
Again, I would love for it to happen by the end of today. I was hopeful that it would happen by
like
the end
of
Friday.
Like, media availability today.
Yes.
Because like when this show ends, you and I kind of literally sprint out of here and head over...
It's ambitious. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be announced today.
Us getting there on time or them announcing?
That too. When
10:58.
Practice starts at 11. We're in Studio B at 10:58.
Well, the media availability portion.
They're, correct.
They're practicing
the portion
as we speak.
We are allowed to watch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I would like it just to be handled, and then the distraction is gone, and BYU can just move forward collectively, knowing, okay, these are our guys. Let's rally behind Bear and give him 2 full weeks to prepare for Portland State. Because typically, Portland State preparation, like the full brunt of it, begins next week.
Yeah. You give yourself a little more time, like 10 to 14 days for that first opponent, just to get into the rhythm of everything, so on and so forth.
And you're kidding yourself if BYU isn't thinking a little bit about Stanford, at least the assistant coach is preparing for that game after as well.
That's what you have GAs and analysts for. They've done the prep work for, frankly, every team on the schedule, and then they just update it as they go. So that when it's time to look at that, they're not like, oh, I'm just finishing it up. They know. When the coach says we take it one game at a time, he's not referring to the entire staff. He's referring to the player's mindset and his actual coach's mindset of we're dialed in on this one game. Well, frankly, the whole staff, but there are members of the staff we're looking at for sure.
By the way, we got some fantastic information from one of our former employees last night.
Yes.
Our good friend Reggie Lewis.
Yes.
Because yesterday we were talking about, Jerem, how many true freshmen have done something significant in college football? Well, Reggie reached out to you and me, and he pointed out from College Game Day research that there have
from
been
the podcast.
Four true freshman quarterbacks since 2000. So in the last 25 years, four that have led their teams to 10-plus wins as a starter.
Proving our point of...
Eight and four would be a great season, folks.
Also... It was Clemson, Georgia, Bama, UCF was an outlier.
Listen to these names.
Like, great talent.
Listen to these names. Trevor Lawrence. You pointed that out
yesterday.
Never heard
of him.
Okay. Won a national championship that year, by the way. Jake Fromm with Georgia. They lost in the national championship game. Jalen Hurts lost in the national
championship game. Super Bowl champ reigning.
And the only outlier, really random one, is Jeff Godfrey with UCF in 2010. But they beat Georgia in the Liberty Bowl. So all four of those guys... special seasons for their respective schools.
Yeah.
Only 4 in 25 years as true freshmen to lead to double-digit win seasons.
It's going to be hard to win 10-plus. That's, you know, puts an exclamation point on it. Yeah. And then he added 16 redshirt freshmen have done it. Nico Iamaliava and Sam Levitt were both redshirt freshmen last year who did it.
But only 16 in 25 years as redshirt freshmen.
It's hard. It really is.
I would love
give me 8 or 9 wins.
Give him some patience and time to grow some grace. If he is the guy.
There's going to be a game where we go, hey, that was rough. There were 3 picks. That late one cost me. Like, stuff happens. But there's also going to be a game where we go, dude.
You can see it.
He is growing.
He's got the spark. The ceiling's high.
He is getting the ball quick. He's making good decisions. That one run on 3rd and 6 where he got 14 yards for the first to seal the game. There will be some awesome. There will be some freshman growing pains as well. There have to be. It's just how it is.
He is on pace to lead potentially a top 25 team very early in the season.
He's leading a top 26
team. One spot out. Yes, thank you. I'm so glad you've embraced that, Jerem.
Have
They're ranked 26th.
Have I? When you do it in a voice that is mocking, I don't feel like it's sincere. At D Sports. Did a deep dive into the AP Top 25 preseason poll, deeper than we went, points out that BYU did not get a single top 20 vote from a Big 12 writer.
Interesting.
So people who cover Big 12 teams.
Haters!
All the votes came from SEC, Big 10, ACC. Is the BYU and Big 12 honeymoon over among the writers?
No, it's not over. They just know. They're the ones that are dialed into what happened to BYU in the offseason. They have way more insider information because they're paying attention to it more closely.
But in the SEC, I was told it means more, Spence. That's what I was told.
This has nothing to do. I mean, we joke like, oh, there's hating on BYU. Big 12 writers, understandably, are dialed in on BYU because the schools they cover, nine of them, are going to face BYU. So they know. They're paying very close attention to the Jake Retzlaff situation and the transfer. It has nothing to do with them hating on BYU. They just have more knowledge and have spent more time in a deep dive, to steal a phrase from the intro part of this topic, into what BYU football actually is right now.
It is a little weird.
You think it's weird?
Not a single Big 12 writer had BYU inside the top 25, yet there were three that had him inside the top 10. To me, which is nuts. It's like, top 10? What? I could see in the 20s somewhere maybe.
Those were the three guys that didn't know BYU's quarterback transferred.
That's right. We talked about that. So here's the 11 through 20, which is interesting, right? And then you're seeing where BYU fits just out. Just out. Pretty interesting.
That NR and for could BYU, go away, honestly, in 1 week.
Right. And let's be honest. I think a lot of you BYU fans were like, that's a win that BYU's had of Utah right there. That's a win.
Still a win?
1-0.
Got more votes!
1-0.
Got more points!
More points in a vote.
We're only one spot out. You're two spots out.
No. Who cares?
Some scheduling news from FBSchedules.com. As of yesterday, they're reporting BYU will play at Northern Illinois University in 2030. Oh, G5 road game,
DeKalb.
Jerome. Woo! Now, while the 2028 game at Oregon State has been canceled, at least they're going to DeKalb in 2030, Jerem.
Okay.
So with BYU traveling to NIU, this G5 road game.
G6.
Sorry, G6 the Pac-12. Road
Come
game.
On.
My bad.
Come on.
It's still a thing. Like, it's the G6 road game still a thing. Should it be?
Okay, the pros and cons of the G6 road game. One, you're loyal to contracts. This would be from 2018 when they played in Provo. They were supposed to play in 2020, I believe. So this is trying to figure out where they can fit that in. BYU as a non-independent, all of a sudden they have one of these games a year and they have many scheduled out. So loyalty. Also, you remember the road shows the church would do in the Stake Center? Like every ward would put on like a play.
Lots of references to the early 90s today.
Yeah, dude. I remember as a kid just being like, what is this and why are we here for 4 hours? Can we go home? Can we get the internet at some point? We did in the future, right? But BYU loves to take the show on the road, Spence. And so how are we going to play a game in Illinois, which I believe they've never played a game in Illinois, according to my research.
It's for the people in Illinois.
It's for the people in that area. So it's not about G6 and road and whatever. It's like, let's get to our fans across the country. Because there's only so many places you can go now because you're in a Power 4 league. So I understand that part. But I still don't want it. I would rather BYU play just all G6 home games. I mean, an occasional one, sure. But I don't feel like we need Utah State or Boise State in there. I don't. I know they would love those games. I love those games in Independence, in Logan, actually.
If
the quarterbacks got hurt.
The Big 12 went to an 8-game conference schedule.
Then you probably have room. That's a good point.
Yes.
But it's 9. Also, this is the closest game in the history of BYU to Nauvoo, by the way. This is a homecoming for the Saints from the 1830s and 40s,
a combo
baby.
Trip for many members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It's 3 hours away.
Okay.
It's a great spot. Nauvoo's great. If you haven't been there, it's awesome.
Is the schedule
just too... Just don't go in July, Rock. It's a little hot.
Is the schedule too hard with a road G6 opponent?
That's an old mindset. The business model has changed.
It has, indeed.
Yeah. We moved into a new neighborhood. We don't have to think like that anymore. Yeah.
Great point. East Carolina this year will be very much a similar situation for BYU fans. Like anybody within an 8-hour radius
of
Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah. Thank you for pronouncing it correctly.
Greenville. It's Greenville. Not Greenville.
Well, it is Asheville. That's where my dad's from in North Carolina. Why is it Asheville but Greenville on different sides of the state? Come on. Figure it out.
You put a pushpin into Greenville on the map in North Carolina, draw an 8-hour radius circle around it, and I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The majority of BYU fans will find a way to be there.
Heck yeah. And they'll be on the cruise in 27 as well.
Yes. Yes. If you have a chance to be there and see the BYU Cougars on the East Coast.
Why not?
Make
it happen. They're coming to you.
There are going to be a ton of fans.
Yeah.
at, what is it, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium?
I think so. Yeah, a lot of PTSD from that game, 2017. Let's talk about Oregon State real quick. So that game is canceled, but they will reschedule a game in Corvallis at some point. They'll talk about it.
So, I don't mind that game.
So BYU's, it's a G6 game, by the way, for BYU in 27 because they have Cal that year.
BYU never goes to the West Coast anymore.
Right.
So, again, with fans in mind, when it was so commonplace.
Yeah. And if I'm Kalani, I was at Oregon State 1 year. Yeah, we'd love to go there.
I don't mind that game at all.
And I speak from experience on this. Tons of fans in the Northwest. Tons. They have seminary buildings at some high schools in the Portland area. Like Vancouver, Washington, Mountain View. They have a seminary building on campus at that high school outside of Utah
Strong
and Idaho.
Strong BYU contingent.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Come on.
In that area of the country.
I like that one.
Okay, before we move on to our last trending topic, we would love to introduce our question of the day. So why don't we? This is the final weekend of the year with no college football, and we are asking, how in the world are you spending your last Saturday without college football? At Jody Allen on X says, hiking to the top of Deseret Peak.
Oh.
Then I'll spend the next 3 months watching the Cougs climb the Big 12 mountain.
Oh, look at you.
Go Cougs. I like that.
That's pretty good.
That's well played. Weighing on X,
11,035 feet.
That's a jaunt. Ooh.
Wow. That's one word for
Stay
it.
Stay hydrated, my friend.
Stay thirsty. Okay, here we go. Women's soccer had an incredible performance in the season opener at number 24, Minnesota. After going down 1-0 with a red card to Avery Frischneck, who's the captain.
They're playing with 10.
BYU won 3-1.
10 players? What?
Short-handed.
They were losing and they went down a player.
Then they score 3 goals. They win 3-1. Freshmen scoring in their collegiate debuts, Mia Lopez, Sevilla Savulic, and Mia Getchi. What was more impressive? Winning 3-1 shorthanded or all 3 goals by freshmen in their debuts?
I had an idea that the freshman class was pretty special. So I wasn't ultra shocked to find out.
I was. Ellie Walbrook's not in there.
I mean, yes.
She's drawing attention.
We're comparing the two. We're comparing the two ideas.
Yes.
Winning on the road against a ranked team, down a player for the majority of the game.
That's crazy.
That, come on. Like, that to me is number one, and then 1B is, and all three players that scored were freshmen. Yep. They're both very impressive.
Yes.
But BYU finding a way down a player for much of the game in their opener when the offense has been struggling in the exhibitions.
Yeah, 1-1 with Utah Tech Saturday. I was like, what was that? On a PK, you didn't get it. One goal on the run of play. This was impressive.
It's a huge resume builder right there.
And BYU did what it did, which is 26 shots. That's what they do.
Put
they
the pressure on.
Pepper the opponent and 12 on goal.
You attack from the edges.
You want to be 50% plus in the shots on goal. Just under that, right, with 12 to 26. But that was great. Nice start. You know, at Cal Poly coming up Monday, speaking of G6 road games or whatever, BYU's taking the show on the road to San Luis Obispo. One time I surfed there with some friends. That's the only time I've surfed in my life.
In San Luis
San
Obispo.
Luis Obispo.
That's the only place you've surfed.
That's the only place I've surfed. I haven't done the Provo whatever in the Riverwoods. Not even not on the cruise. Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
I was not about to try and do that.
Break my hip.
On the ship, not a boat, in front of however many hundred people.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
BYU Sports Nation, eat it. 10 stitches.
You're like, tell them Dave McCann sent you. Robbie Below.
By the way, public service announcement again, going back to the names of the three freshmen. Okay. Like, names are everything.
Yeah.
In sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
So, again, I know that there are some interesting spellings, but it's Mia Lopez,
yep.
Sofia Savulic, and Mia Getchi. Two Mias. Not Maya.
Mia Likey! For more full camp coverage.
Two Mias.
Interview shows, Deep Blues. You can go to BYUSN.com. Download the free BYU TV app. Get all your BYU Sports Station content on demand.
Oh, you heard the blue goggle take from Shahan Jayaraja yesterday on
the
show. He joins us next to explain exactly why he feels BYU can compete for a Big 12 championship if Bear Bachmeyer is the starter. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Where is that explosiveness offensively going to come from? This is still going to be one of the best rosters and most talented teams. Without certainty at that quarterback position, it just makes it a lot harder to project.
It feels like Bear's got a legit chance.
They absolutely are part of that top group.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan will join us again in a moment. Earlier this week on the College Football Insider podcast, CBS college football writer Shahan Jayaraja said he feels BYU can compete for a Big 12 championship if Bear Bachmeier is named the starting quarterback. I spoke with Shahan yesterday to have him explain in detail why he feels that way. This is our conversation. Shahan, it's good to catch up with you for the first time since Big 12 football media days, now under 2 weeks away from the first Division I college football games of the season. How are you feeling about what's going to transpire over the next 4.5 months of your life?
Well, it's a fun time always, but man, is it a hectic time. But I'll tell you what, it makes my job easier when I have actual games to talk about, as opposed to, like, you know, sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel to be like, you want to talk about legal settlements and the house case and all this sort of stuff. So I'm excited to get some football back.
All right, let's focus in on BYU specifically, because you recently said on the College Football Insider podcast that you think if Bear Bachmeier, a true freshman, starts and is QB1 for BYU, that they have a legitimate chance of making a run to the Big 12 championship game. That sounded a little blue goggled to BYU fans. They were very excited about this, that they weren't the ones saying it. It was a national pundit. So why do you feel like if Bear is the guy, BYU is in better position to potentially make that run?
Well, I've said on this program before, right? Like, if Jake Retzlaff was back, I would very much consider putting BYU as my number one team in the Big 12. And when he left, it wasn't necessarily that I felt like he was a world beater, irreplaceable sort of player. Like, he was a really good player, obviously, but it was sort of the inconsistency behind him. I feel like when you compare the teams in the Big 12 that are able to break through, it's the teams that come in with a little bit of upside on offense, especially, right? I mean, it's sometimes literally just, hey, Iowa State has two NFL receivers, right? Like, Arizona State just has a running back go crazy. And I think for me, like, defensively, I love what BYU does. Offensively, of course, I think they have a good receiver group coming back. I love LJ Martin at running back. But, like, it's that dynamic piece I need, right? It's a game-breaking type piece, because you're going to end up in games where it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and we saw Jake Retzlaff in those moments thrived. Well, I think that's sort of my concern without him, is there that kind of piece that can change the game on a dime? Now, look, I want to be clear about this. Bear Bachmeier is going to lose BYU some games this year. Like, he is. He's a true freshman. It's a lot coming in. And so, you know, I'm not setting the expectation for him to go 12-0 by any means. But, but I do love the idea of having a quarterback back there who, one, gives you some upside. But two, I mean, again, we've seen at other schools, McKay Hillstead and Trayson Borgia, and they've had multiple years of development in the system. For a kid like Bear Bachmeier, who does bring so much physical ability to the table, to come in and compete with guys who have played 3 years of college football, like, that's a big deal to me. It says a lot, yes, about his talent, but also the level of maturity that he's coming in with and the level of knowledge of the game. I mean, obviously, BYU fans know he comes from a great football family. His brother was a quarterback at Boise State and Louisiana Tech and Wake Forest. His brother, his other brother, Tiger, of course, coming into the program, as well as a wide receiver. So, like, that's what excites me the most, is, yes, the physical upside, but also we know that he was going to be challenged in camp, especially since he didn't go through the spring. If he's already this ready to be in that conversation, I just think that it really does change some of how you feel about this program.
Shahan Jayaraja of CBS Sports, College Football Insider, is on BYU Sports Nation. Looking at BYU's schedule, I can't help but feel like it is the perfect, at least on paper now, ramp up if you're trying to break in a new quarterback. BYU is not going to face any world beaters in non-conference between Portland State, Stanford, and East Carolina. If they can get through that 3-0, then you're at Colorado for who knows what we're going to see from Coach Prime and his squad. And then you get a home game on a Friday night in Provo against West Virginia before you got to go to Tucson. And under Kalani Sitake, BYU's 4-0 all time against the Wildcats. So I feel like 5-1 isn't that far of a reach, even if BYU, for the first time in program history, does start a true freshman in week number one. So
Shahan, is 5-1 kind of where you're targeting BYU in that first six?
100%. And for the record, I mean, I think that they're in good shape to go 5-1 kind of no matter who's in the lineup, right? Like, I think that that's going to be something that they're going to have a chance to do no matter what. And so ultimately, I think that this is a situation where, like you said, it's a perfect ramp up. You get some competitive opportunities. You get to play a couple of different types of teams. You get to go on the road as a young quarterback as well and see what you can do. And like you said, I mean, I think BYU is going to be favored in all six of those games. So like I said, Beer's probably going to lose one. He's probably going to throw an interception at some point. He's probably going to have a fumble at some point. That's just the reality of playing a young player. But if they're 5-1 heading into that Utah game in the middle of October, like, they're in great shape. They're in really, really good shape to at least be in the conversation. Now, look, obviously, to actually, I said that they'll have a chance to get into the contender group. Like, to actually make it to Arlington requires a lot more going right than just playing well across the season. But I think BYU I had rated as my easiest schedule overall in the Big 12, taking into account both non-conference play and also conference play. They don't get a lot of the very best teams in the Big 12, and the ones that they get are largely in the second half of the season. So, like you said, a perfect ramp-up period for Bear Bachmeyer if he is the starting quarterback. And again, the more success that he's able to have early, the more confidence you also expect him to gain over the course of the season.
Shahan, just from a national standpoint, because I feel like a lot of BYU fans still don't really know how highly recruited Bear was. So from a national standpoint, what type of player and recruit or get for BYU are we actually talking about with Bear?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned, of course, he comes from a family of football talents. And, Hank was a blue chip recruit. Tiger was a blue chip recruit. But Bear is kind of considered like the most talented maybe of the bunch. He is somebody who has the athleticism to have played a position other than quarterback, but they kept him at quarterback because he does have those abilities. He has a big arm. He knows how to read defenses. He's very accurate with the football. This was a player who was top 150 in the country. And let's keep in mind too, right? Like the level of intelligence and academics needed to go to Stanford as a quarterback, it's big time, right? I mean, and this is a place that consistently puts out great quarterbacks, even during some of their leaner years. So the fact that Troy Taylor and their staff really prioritized him early as somebody that they wanted to keep in the state of California and bring to Stanford, I think, is a huge deal. But then again, the other thing too is that I think that when you think about a player like that, who again is from that area in California, like I think that he has a lot of maturity to be able to understand what football is going to throw at him. His older brother Hank, again, started several years at Boise State, and then things kind of went bad when he left. And so I think that he also has the ability to learn from some of those experiences and have some great mentors, both in the room in Tiger and also at home in Hank. And so I just love the sort of overall pedigree he brings to the table to go along with his prodigious talents.
Shahan Jeyaraja, CBS Sports, is back on BYU Sports Nation. From a team standpoint, when you consider what BYU is and what they bring back on defense and all the potential playmakers around whoever the starting quarterback is, how much of that factors into BYU's outside chance to make a run at a Big 12 championship?
I mean, it's everything, right? Like if you could say that Sam Levitt is stepping in at quarterback, or Sawyer Robertson, or Josh Shoover, like, I think that BYU would be the favorite in the Big 12, frankly, with what they have on both sides of the ball. And I think, obviously, it starts with those linebackers, Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, like, just incredible, incredible players. I've got a lot of confidence what they've got in the secondary, of course, bringing in Keanu Tuivasa on the defensive line is just huge for this program, right? To have a player like that in the middle. And offensively, like my slight concern is the offensive line after losing a couple of guys, but I love the way that they've developed over the past 2 or 3 years as well. And I feel like they have some guys that they feel good about. So, I mean, this is a roster that's ready to go. And that's why I think, you know, if you're Kalani Sitake, I mean, let's just say that you get below average quarterback play this year and you don't get much upside. It's kind of a wasted season with how much they have here, with how much they have the opportunity to do with this schedule as well, by the way. So, no, the state of the roster right now and the multi-year rebuild and the guys that they bring back, That's a huge part of the equation. Like I mentioned, if Jake Retzlaff was in the lineup, they're top three in the Big 12 for me heading into the year, no doubt about it. Maybe even my champion. It's still going to be diminished with a younger quarterback, even a talented one, but that's a big part of the calculus, is that you look around and he's going to have a lot to work with.
It feels like 7-2 in the 9 conference games that these Big 12 squads will all play just might do exactly what it did last year and put you right atop the conference in a potential four-way tie. And now we're going to be again talking about the wild tiebreakers involved. Do you feel like we are pacing for a 7-2 regular season champion once again?
It's very likely. It's very likely. I'll say this. I think that a 7-2 team will definitely get in, right? Like, I don't think that it's going to be 2 8-1s or a 9-0 necessarily. Look, you look back at history too. There have been more 8-1 teams and 11-1 teams overall to win the Big 12 than there have been, two, three loss teams. So I don't think it's off the table that we have an 8-1 team and an 11-1 team potentially win the league. But 7-2 is going to be enough to get in. I think that there's no doubt about that. You look at the history of this league, most years, it's at worst 7-2. It's very rare. I don't know if there's ever been a team actually that's gone 6-3 in conference play and gotten in. So it's going to be very competitive. And that's where I go back to the schedule and the draw, right? To have the relative easiest schedule in the Big 12, to have a lot of opportunities to grow and get better and develop. Like, that's something that you can't take for granted if you're BYU heading into this season. So if you get to 7-2, I think it's going to give you a chance.
I am looking at BYU in the preseason AP poll, one spot out, number 26, if you will, and 22nd in the coaches poll, which frankly doesn't merit as much national interest. But it still feels like BYU is in a favorable position, especially when you compare where BYU was on national radars going into last season. So if, and it's a big if, BYU does start 5-0 or even 6-0, with where they are in the AP poll, where do you anticipate BYU would be through the first 6 games at 5-1 in a top 25?
Well, I think that, like you said, it's, I think, big for this program that they've garnered enough respect that even after losing their quarterback, they're still one spot out of the AP top 25. That means they were on a lot of AP poll ballots. That means that a lot of voters are still paying attention to them and view them as a serious team. I will say, I would not have had them in my personal top 25 heading into the year. I think that they will have the ability to play their way in if they have that opportunity. But let's say they start 6-0 and they're heading into that game against Utah, another team that I think could be 5-1 or something like that if some things break right. We could be looking at a legitimate top 15 matchup in that game, which would be one of the best games, I think, of the Big 12 season. And, maybe one that I'll have to try to find a way to let my editors get me out to. But I think that absolutely that's going to give them a chance to be right on that edge. I mean, because again, we look at last season, and it took a little while for BYU to start really moving up. Ultimately, I think they got up to number 7 at the highest. Well, like you said, they're starting at a different kind of point. Now, the comparison that I think you also make, because BYU, I don't think, got enough credit for the SMU win last year, is that it took them longer as well because they didn't beat highly ranked teams. That's also going to be a complication with this year's schedule, right? Let's say that Utah struggles a little bit. I think people will look at the schedule and say, well, who have you beaten? Who have you played? But I still think that that's going to be enough with where BYU is starting perception-wise to give them a chance to get back into the top 15.
Every year, and especially in the Big 12 conference, now that it's expanded to 16, it feels like there are going to be one or two teams that we think are juggernauts that are not good. And then a couple of teams that are way off the radar that are like, wow, they're actually really good. So, Shahan, who are your two off the radar Big 12 teams that you think could jump up and surprise people this season and try and take a course like Arizona State or even BYU did last season?
Yeah, when you talk about teams that can jump up, I will say I think that there are 9 teams that I view as capable of winning the Big 12, which is a lot, obviously. Now, I think that the gap between them and the rest of the field is fairly significant. When you talk about way off board, I think that Houston is a team that really has the ability to come in and surprise. They brought in former five-star quarterback Connor Wegman, and put aside that he's a five-star quarterback, but he is a very talented player who I think will bring a lot to that offense. Defensively, they were one of the top three units in the league last year, which I don't think enough people realized. And so if they're able to just take a step forward, I think that they could be in the 7-8 win conversation, with obviously a chance to pull some upsets and maybe find their way into the conversation. A team that's not that far down the board is TCU. I think that people are so influenced by what happened after the run to the national title game that it really colors perception of everything I think this program has done since. Because let's put that season aside for just one second, right? If it's 5-7 to 9-4 to a really good team this year, that's just kind of a normal rebuild, right? Like that's just kind of a normal program trajectory. And I think that that might be what we're looking at right now. I think that you look at TCU right now, great quarterback in Josh Hoover. I think they're still going to be very good at receiver. Defensively, this team took steps that I don't think people realized enough in the second half of last season. The big question with them is going to be if they can find a running game. That was a huge issue for them last year, but if they can, I mean, I don't think enough people talk about the fact that this is the best recruiting team in the Big 12 over the last 5 years under Sonny Dykes. So they are talented enough. They've got some high-end playmakers. It would not surprise me at all if they shock their way into the conversation as well.
Great stuff. Always entertaining conversation with you, Shahan. Just do me a favor. If you do make your way to Utah at BYU in mid-October, bring the lucky purple jacket that you rocked at Big 12 Media Days, okay?
I'll do it. I'll make sure of it.
I mean, it's a combo of blue and red. It doesn't get any more perfect. Thanks, brother. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Seven different BYU football players take some recognition from the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame. We'll tell you who next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
BYU football held a practice in front of the Cougar Club at LaBelle Edwards Stadium last night. Bear Bachmeyer taking first team reps again in the 11-on-11 period. Meet availability is today after practice. We'll have coverage here on our show and on our YouTube channel.
BYU football has scheduled a game in DeKalb, Illinois at NIU for September 21st, 2030. We laugh, but it's only 5 years away.
We knew the year, we didn't know the date.
Now we know the date.
Yep.
This is courtesy of fbschedules.com, so mark your calendars 5 years away. At the same time, you can clear a game. BYU at Oregon State from September 9th, 2028 has been canceled. The Beavers will still play in Provo in 2027. I imagine at some point BYU will return that game in Corvallis.
Oregon State's trying to figure out their schedule. They're trying to make room for Oregon. They canceled, Oregon did with Utah State, by the way, a series. So they're trying to figure all that out with the Beavers' kind of new Pac-12 look. After a red card to Captain Avery Frischknecht in the 31st minute, BYU women's soccer went down 1-0, yet came back to win 3-1 to beat number 24 Minnesota on the road in the regular season opener. Incredible. Freshman Mia Lopez, Mia Getchy, and Sevilla Sabulic scored for the Cougars in their debut. BYU plays at Cal Poly Monday in San Luis Obispo, California, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
This weekend, BYU football will be well represented with former players in the NFL preseason. Tomorrow at 1 Eastern, Tyler Batty and the Minnesota Vikings take on Kyrus Tonga and the New England Patriots. Zach Wilson and the Miami Dolphins face the Detroit Lions also at 1 Eastern. Brady Christensen and the Carolina Panthers face off with Keaton Slovis and the Texans at the same time. Jacob Robinson and the 49ers will face the Raiders at 4 Eastern. And then Sunday at 1 Eastern, Darius Lassiter and the Jacksonville Jaguars with a matchup against the New Orleans Saints.
Still waiting for Taysom to get healthy.
Yep.
Otherwise, Taysom wouldn't be missed. Polynesian Football Hall of Fame announced the watch list for the Polynesian Collegiate Football Player of the Year Award, which includes seven Cougars: Tausi Liakana, Raider DeMuni, Siale Acera, Waylon Lapuahu, Logan Lotui, Sonny Maccasini, and Keanu Taunuvasa. The award is presented annually to the outstanding college football player of Polynesian ancestry that exhibits great ability and integrity. And fun fact, Zach Wilson won this award in 2020.
And honestly, a lot of people didn't know that Zach
is
was
dead to wine.
Tied to, yeah, Polynesian.
He's Polynesian.
There you go. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports reporting Thursday that the Big 12 Conference Athletic Directors voted 15-1, quote, to solidify an existing game management policy related to the throwing of items onto the playing surface. Dellinger continues, the move most impacts Texas Tech, whose fans hold a tradition of tossing tortillas onto the field, most notably during opening kickoff.
They have a tradition of doing this. Fun fact, BYU used to do this. I don't know exactly why BYU did this, but there were tortillas that would be thrown in the end zone after touchdowns. I recall this in the 90s and early 2000s.
What would BYU fans throw onto the field? That is the question.
Nothing, because they're law-abiding citizens.
If not tortillas, but if it weren't against the rules and it was a tradition of something, like what the heck would BYU fans throw onto the field?
Cougar tail ends. You don't want the end. You know what I'm saying?
Stuffed animals.
Stuffed
animals. I don't know.
The free ice cream they gave the opponent.
When we come back, we'll show you what the BYU football team recently did specifically for bonding. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. There's a lot of bonding happening in this studio and has happened for almost 12 years now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Other things have happened too.
We used to be a little more angsty. I think we've mellowed out as time goes on. When I say we, I mean me.
I appreciate that clarification. In a team bonding trip, speaking of bonding, head coach Kalani Sitake took his BYU football team camping. Not everybody likes camping. Some players were vocal about that.
Yes,
others love it. But the trip did include a lake day, and we've got some photos.
Did you say leg day? Yeah. No, lake day.
Lake day.
Yeah.
Probably coupled with a lake.
Isaiah Glasker shredding.
Mm-hmm. Attaboy.
I assume Deer Creek.
Deer Creek Reservoir up in Heber Valley.
Yep, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Little cornhole.
It rained the majority of the time last year. LJ Martin told me that.
So not fun.
So they were under. But he said he's like, we liked it because it was a break from the heat.
Yeah.
So he's like, I kind of hope it would rain again. It did not rain.
No.
But it looks like they had a great time.
Yeah. And, one player told me yesterday, hey, we might be zombies at this practice, man. We just came from camping. Did they camp, though? Was it in tents?
Yeah, and how many coaches actually stayed up there? Because I was getting wind that a lot of the coaches were like, yeah, they won't know that we leave. We're going to go home and sleep in our own beds.
You're like, that doesn't apply for the players. There's Hank Bachmeyer's haircut, by the way, in case you missed it. You cut the hair.
Hank? Oh, Bears?
Oh, sorry, Bear. I keep saying Hank. I'm sorry. Bear cut his hair. When you're high-profile quarterback at BYU, there's a certain look, I guess. I do miss that hair. I like that hair.
It was great hair.
Riley Nelson did cut his hair, famously, in 2011 as well, after the Utah State game. So.
Cut it short and let it grow for the entirety of the season. It's okay. You're good when you cut it that short.
Yeah.
Okay?
Reverse Samson.
Some of you will be getting a haircut on this final Saturday without college football. But if not that, how are all of you spending your last Saturday, without the great sport of college football? At Rowdy and the Rock, oft contributor to this program through social medias, says, watching all the highlights from last season and from camp, putting the blue goggles on and strapping them on tight, all caps, let's go.
Yeah, I would recommend, if you haven't seen all of the content that BYU Cougar Social is putting out, great mic'd up with Chase Roberts the other day. They've done Day in the Lifes with a bunch of dudes from spring and summer and fall. The social team's rocking it. We always talk about that. We know them. We love them. They do a great job. They feed us content. We learn things. It's great.
The cut? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the uncut from men's basketball as well was really interesting.
Really good.
They've done two of those. So keep watching all that.
At It's a Full Hammer answers our question of the day with this. Teeing it up at the base of the everlasting hills.
May peace be with you this day.
So some golf at the base of the Wasatch Mountains somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there are several courses.
And it's not Lloyd Newell. He's on a mission. We know that.
That qualify for that, yeah.
Mildly offended, we were never even asked or interviewed about the music in the spoken word. Like, never even approached. Like, what? We would have crushed it.
At Tyler
I probably
Dawes.
Said no.
At Tyler Dawes on X. Finishing the honey to-do list to free up every Saturday the rest of the year. Good luck.
That's ambitious, but no. Because guess what? Home Depot and Lowe's still going to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
Tate Austin on X. Sitting on my couch, patiently waiting for next week.
What's that like, sitting on a couch?
Just sitting on a couch. Yeah. Tate Austin, I want
enjoy it while you can.
I want a follow-up of you. I want a picture that you tweet at us of you just sitting on a couch, like waiting. Mm. I would like to see that.
Yes.
That would be really fun. What are you going to do?
I am going to watch two soccer games, one for my 7-year-old daughter, Sailor, and the other for my 9-year-old son, Jet. I have promised him that I will play the new Mario Kart game on the Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh, there's a new Mario Kart game.
Yet to do that with them, yeah. We'll do that. And then another belated birthday party for my son, Jax, who just turned 14, with the in-laws who are coming up from Las Vegas, where my wife is from. It's a full Saturday.
Yeah, we got the start of our season for Tate's Flag Football and then Venna's volleyball games. And then there's nothing else. So I'm very excited. I do look forward to Farmageddon coming up next Saturday in just 8 days. That's a massive Big 12 game.
Yes, and I can't wait. I mean, there's real like championship pedigree in those two teams in the Big 12.
The tiebreaker for one of those two teams happens next week. Because if they both finish 7-2 or whatever, that's going to play into that.
Massive game. Yeah.
And last year, that game was huge. Georgia Tech beats Florida State. And we're like, Florida State lost. And then they stunk the rest of the year.
It's a ranked matchup, Jerem. Both teams are
ranked.
It's
a great one. Rocco Becht versus Avery Johnson. I mean, this is good. I'm looking for. Frankly, that's one of my like top five Big 12 games of the year.
It should be right
out of the gate.
Rivalry factor out of the gate. Both teams ranked in the
preseason.
Plus,
it has one of the
top 25.
Greatest nicknames of any series. Farmageddon? That's amazing.
It's tough to beat that.
Can the Irish mind comprehend Farmageddon? Mm. Have you seen all those videos? Like, the European mind cannot comprehend. And it's just like, eagles, fireworks, F-16s. The European mind cannot comprehend Farmageddon.
We'll find out.
Coming to their shores, August 23rd.
All right, our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Careers Built for Victory. From at H. Suren, who says, being really nice to the wife,
always.
If she plays it right, she could milk that day to the max. Okay?
Doing
everything, being nice for your wife. Okay? All of the 100 to do so that you can try and take a break for the next 15 weeks.
We say until January, and then it's, BYU's top 10 college basketball team is going to be engaged from November
3rd. They tip off November 3rd.
We hope April.
November 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And two exhibitions before that are super intriguing.
We're 80-something days away from men's hoops.
How many days away from football, though?
Dun, 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 dun.
15.
15, baby.
15 days away. All right. That said, we ask, is BYU about to put the phenomenal in freshman this year? Because I think it may have already started last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps to listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about the freshman stars of BYU? So we've talked about how women's soccer last night, red card, 31st minute to the captain, Avery Frischnick. They go down 1-0. Three freshmen, Mia Lopez, Mia Getchi, and Sofia Savulich. They score and BYU wins 3-1, which is amazing. So it reminded me that there is an unbelievable freshman class, perhaps the greatest in BYU history, incoming, and they add to it. A.J. DeBonsa in men's basketball. Bear Bachmeyer looks like he's going to win the quarterback job. Jane Hedengren, perhaps the greatest athlete at her sport, period, at BYU, coming in from TIFU. The Gatorade National Women's Athlete of the Year in cross-country track and field.
That is just wild.
Kihei Akina in men's golf is one of the best. Suli Davis was a National Player of the Year in high school, women's volleyball. Charlie Voss, men's cross-country, won nationals. Is this the greatest incoming freshman class in BYU history? I would argue, very likely.
Yeah, can we just retroactively throw in Delaney Gibb, too?
She's a sophomore, no.
I know.
No!
Pointing out the fact that she was incredible as a freshman, but it's not the same class. I get it.
She was, she and Yeager were the top freshmen last year at BYU.
Yeah. Sydney Benally's not a bad ad as a true
Sydney
freshman.
Sydney Benally's going to be
for BYU
yes,
women's
absolutely.
Basketball.
Yeah, I didn't include everybody, and thanks for that. There are others, too, but man, it is impressive. I mean, you get an AJ or a Jane, and that's like the highlight of the year normally. And I'm telling you, we have like five or six of those kind of people in different sports coming in. And then soccer's like, we're right here.
Yeah.
And three freshmen score in their collegiate debut. That is awesome. Congratulations.
That's how you break onto the scene. Game number one.
And Ellie Wahlberg's probably like, yeah, we got a lot of scores here. It's not just me. There's a lot of talent on that team. Jen Rockwood always does a good job with the freshmen. They come in, they play.
if they're good enough, she will play them.
Yeah.
And clearly that's become,
and they are.
It's become a tradition almost to have several freshmen involved in that team.
It's a habit. No.
I love it. All right. We need to take time to thank the guest, Shahan Jayaraja, and sorry, thank him for daring to wear that jacket at Big 12 Media Day.
That was great. Sorry, yes, to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time. He would never wear that jacket.
He couldn't pull it off. In fact, not many of us could.
Not many can.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jeff Branson. We'll see you on Monday. Go Cougs!